This is Jay Sekulow. The president asked last night, how much more American blood must we shed before Congress does its job?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Over the last several years, I've met with dozens of families whose loved ones were stolen by illegal immigration. I've held the hands of the weeping mothers and embraced the grief-stricken fathers. So sad, so terrible.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I will never forget the pain in their eyes, the tremble in their voices, and the sadness gripping their souls. How much more American blood must we shed before Congress does its job?
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. The president laid out the case yesterday in the Oval Office for taking action in our southern border. Let me read from you. This is a presidential document from William Jefferson Clinton, dated October 21st, 1995. It's called Blocking Assets and Protecting Transactions with Significant Narcotics Traffickers. I, William Jefferson Clinton, President of the United States of America, find that the actions of significant foreign narcotic traffickers centered in Colombia and the unparalleled violence, corruption, and harm they cause to the United States and abroad constitute an unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security, foreign policy, and economy of the United States, and hereby declare a national emergency to deal with that threat. That's from President Clinton. I could read you 20 more of those, but I picked that one out because I think it dovetails into exactly what the President of the United States is dealing with today. So this idea that declaring a national emergency is some extraordinary matter, while it is extraordinary in the sense that you're declaring a national emergency, it's not like this is unprecedented.
Yes, that's right. I mean, this is a situation, again, I think last night what we saw was a very in-touch president and out-of-touch Democrat leaders. I thought that the optics, again, the demanding to respond to the president was, as we discussed, a going to be disastrous for Democrats. I believe it was. I don't know that that necessarily changes, by the way, the shutdown discussions, but it certainly didn't persuade any Americans to the view of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. I think them standing there together, first of all, Chuck Schumer is a minority leader. So it really should have been Nancy Pelosi, who is the Speaker of the House, a high-ranking official in the constitutional succession. And, she should have done the delivery on her own, but as if she could not respond to President Trump without two Democrat leaders. I think that says a lot about how his negotiating style puts them in a bind constantly. He's giving it one more day. And the White House is saying that this national emergency is still absolutely on the table.
And then the president, remember, he goes to Texas tomorrow. Than, you just got off a conference call. What's your sense?
I think the White House is as committed as ever to building this wall, Jay. And I mean, I couldn't agree with Jordan more. If you were to believe the Democrat response, you would have to agree that there is no security crisis, despite the fact that terrorists and gang members and violent criminals are coming over the border. You'd have to believe that it's not a humanitarian crisis, even though 49,000 unaccompanied minors crossed that border between January and November of last year. That's 4,500 unaccompanied minors a month. Jay, this White House is going to get that border secure. I think this was a last pitch to try to do it through the congressional means. Last night, it didn't sound like they were open to that. But Jay, another meeting today at the White House at 3 o'clock. The president is going to try yet again to get Democrats in Congress to participate in this emergency.
What I'm trying to lay out for you is the fact that there is precedent, Andy. There's precedent that exists for these kind of actions. So a declaration of a national emergency is not a declaration of war. People are confusing the two.
No, it's not. And the precedent that you said was set by our Democratic president, Bill Clinton, in 1995 in a very articulate way. I mean, if I read the executive order that you were led with today, and he really lays out, all you have to do is substitute some of the things that he said in there with some of the things that are happening today.
And some of the things the president said last night.
And the president said last night, and you find that there is grounds for a national emergency if the president wished to declare that.
We're going to take your calls on your reaction to last night's address by the president. His first time from the Oval Office, that kind of address, the Democrat response as well. We want your thoughts. 1-800-684-3110. As always, go to aclj.org. A lot of information there, cases that we're working on, issues that we're working on, aclj.org.
I'm holding my hand a memo. This is the beginning of the work product that the ACLJ is putting together on this issue of a national emergency and the legal parameters. We'll be talking about that when we come back from the break.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
So the president did not yesterday declare a national emergency. He did say during the he had surrogates out or folks out, we're talking about that the president has that authority. We have begun an illegal analysis of the American Center for Law and Justice, because that's what we do, as to what the president's constitutional and legal authorities, statutory authorities are. Let me start with Article 1, Section 8 of the United States Constitution. That provides that the president shall provide for the common defense and general welfare. I mean, it's that straightforward. I mean, that's just part of the general clauses there. The Commerce Clause, War Powers Act, I mean, you can go on and on. But Professor Hutchinson, our director of policy, found something this morning that, folks, I want you to understand that we've, you know, when you're, it's not just illegal immigration or illegal migration. It's the drug flow. It's the sex trafficking. It's all of that. And there is, I read to you what President Clinton did. And by the way, this is one of dozens that are out there. Declarations of national emergency. President H.W. Bush did it. Reagan did it. Obama. I mean, it's just on and on it goes. So I gave you the language of what it would sound like. But there's another statute that really, I think, deals with this right on point, Harry.
Absolutely. So if the president declares a national emergency, under U.S. Code Section 284, support for counter-drug activities and activities to counter transnational organized crime, the Secretary of Defense may provide support for the counter-drug activities. Correct.
Very important.
To counter transnational organized crime of any other department or agency of the federal government or state or local tribe. And specifically, the Secretary of Defense is empowered to aid in the construction of roads, fences, the installation of lighting to block drug smuggling corridors across international boundaries of the United States. The quintessential issue that is before the American people is whether or not we need a fixed barrier of some kind, which would result in a reduction in drug trafficking, human smuggling, and human trafficking that is going on into the United States. It's a massive problem, and it has gone on for over two decades, and it has worsened recently over the last 5 to 6 months. Why? Because of the increase in individuals who are coming in family groups and unaccompanied minors.
Yep.
Those are huge issues which Congress has so far refused to deal with.
So, Andy, you look at this code section. I'm talking about the law as it exists right now. This is not coming up with new law.
No.
It's the law that exists right now. If the president declares a national emergency, he has the authority to engage the wall.
That's right. This is Title 10 U.S. Code 284. This is existing law. This is not new law. This is not anything that's just been around recently. This has been around for a long time. It provides a statutory supplement to what you said earlier was the constitutional authority to provide, in the president, to provide for the common defense and the general welfare, and it allows him to do just exactly what he's talking about building. And the language of the statute, to build, quote, fences. That's what it says. Use the word fences. An installation of lighting to block corridors, command control communications, provide linguistic intelligence analysis, aerial and ground reconnaissance. In other words, to do what you got to do to defend the country.
So I read you what President Clinton said about foreign narcotic trafficking in his declaration of a national emergency. Here's what the president said last night.
Our southern border is a pipeline for vast quantities of illegal drugs, including meth, heroin, cocaine, and fentanyl. Every week, 300 of our citizens are killed by heroin alone, 90% of which floods across from our southern border. More Americans will die from drugs this year than were killed in the entire Vietnam War.
That's this year, which just began. They can already figure out that statistics because you've got 300 people every week dying just from heroin. That's not including fentanyl and these other narcotics that are derivative of that flowing in from places like China, but also coming in through the southern border with cartels. So the heroin is all coming in through the southern border. The truth is, though, when I watched last night, did you hear any of that from the Democrats? I mean, the president talked about the need for the wall, the agents, immigration judges, technology to protect Americans and end the humanitarian crisis as well. He acknowledged the humanitarian issues on the border. The Dem response, the Democrats, they just ignored all of that. They ignored the gangs, so nothing about MS-13, nothing about violence, nothing about drugs, nothing about human suffering. It was all about the shutdown. It was all about, again, they kind of missed the point of the discussion that's going on in America right now. Because
they were not expecting the president to say what he said.
They weren't expecting a humanitarian crisis discussion by the president of the United States and a focus on the drug issue.
So, Dan, you were just in meetings, but what are you hearing right, left, and center right now? What are you hearing?
Well, the vice president this morning, Jay, echoed that very message. And just by way of background, these White House policy calls that we participate in, they're usually led by White House Ledge Affairs, which are very helpful. But just to show the gravity and the seriousness with which this administration is taking this discussion, Kellyanne Conway and the vice president of the United States led this call this morning, Jay. And he said essentially what Jordan just said, that we've all heard about the security crisis. There's really no debate that it's a security crisis. But the humanitarian crisis that exists is beyond belief. And you know what? The reason that wasn't responded to by the Democrats in Congress, Jay, it's because they know those facts. They have repeated those facts. They know there is a crisis. And if they engage this issue on the facts, they will lose because there's no ground to stand on. But the vice president took it head on, took the president's message to the grassroots. And Jay, their message was pretty simply this. If it's going to go through the regular process, the American people are going to have to speak very loudly because to this point, Democrats in Congress have not moved.
No, I think that's right. And, I think the president is laying out the framework to take action here. And I think if that action needs to be an executive order or a declaration of national emergency, based on our analysis of the law, this is not just talking about the issue, but a very thorough legal analysis that we're in process of right now. But I will tell you the initial read is that our initial drafts are that the president has his constitutional authority, that he has it, and that if he decides to exercise it that way, he has the authority to do it, and that could take care of the entire wall being built. I'm talking about the whole $25 billion, if that's what the president were to decide to do. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Yeah, John's calling in from Wyoming online, too. John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, John.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I listened to that speech last night, and are Nancy Pelosi and them committing political suicide?
Well, let me tell you what they did. They prepared to give a response. This is the typical mistake. Lawyers make this mistake, too. In oral arguments, oftentimes you go, if I'm the petitioner, I go first, and then the other side goes, they're the respondent. And sometimes the respondent will have, and that's what basically Pelosi and Schumer were yesterday, they had this preconceived notion of what the argument's going to be. The problem was that wasn't the argument the president gave. So they responded to something that was not at the outset, was not the main argument, Harry.
Absolutely. So first, we should establish some ground rules with respect to understanding the Democratic response. First, Democrats are prepared to ignore the evidence which confronts them. The evidence right before their own eyes. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer were quite prepared to pound the table. They were quite prepared to attack President Trump. And they were quite prepared to focus on the shutdown itself rather than the border crisis. So I think at the end of the day, most of the Americans saw two leaders, two Democratic leaders, who were unprepared to deal with A, the humanitarian crisis, and B, to deal with the drug issue, which is overwhelming our borders and overwhelming citizens in rural areas, in urban areas, and throughout the United States.
Let me play Nancy Pelosi's response and then get everybody's comments. Here we go.
The fact is, President Trump has chosen to hold hostage critical services for the health, safety, and well-being of the American people and withhold the paychecks of 800,000 innocent workers across the nation, many of them veterans.
So that was the, Andy, that was Nancy Pelosi's response to a speech the president didn't give.
That's pretty pitiful, because that's exactly right. You anticipate, you may have to change your tactics in the course of litigation, don't you, like
right.
You said. Well, she didn't decided not to do that. She was going to go back to the pitiful workers, and I have sympathy with the workers, but that's not the point. You've got a crisis that is facing the country, and you have someone who comes back and says the president is not sympathetic to the plight of the workers.
You know, it's interesting. I want to go to Thad on this. Thad, you talked about that the administration is making efforts to mitigate how this feels. Yeah. In the past, we kind of see administrations make this kind of feel the pain to put the pressure on Congress. But tell people about the steps they're taking, because it's a lot. We don't hear about this in the media.
Yeah, it makes what Nancy Pelosi just said, that soundbite, just factually incorrect. I would go so far as to say a lie, Jordan, because, look, previous administrations have tried to maximize the pain. They've walled off memorials that didn't have walls or ropes before. You demonstrated that before. This administration, Jordan, has taken a number of steps to mitigate it. They've ensured that tax refunds will go out. They've ensured that food stamps will go out. And, Jordan, they've also issued guidance to financial institutions saying, we encourage you to issue 0% loans that will be paid back as soon as workers are no longer being furloughed. Jordan, if you go to the major website of most banks in America, the banners at the top of them suggest that they are doing exactly that. They're following the guidance of the administration to stand in the paycheck gap for these 800,000 federal workers who are paying the price of the Democratic
structure. So if the people put in a loan request from the bank, the bank is doing it zero interest.
Right.
They're just giving you what you would have usually gotten paid, and then the government will come in and pay it back to the financial institutions.
Exactly right. So, look.
The Democrats just misled the American people.
They did. We're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. We'll be back in a moment. Facebook and share, Periscope, share it with your friends. We'll be back with you in a second.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the Medical Board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org.
Executive Order number 12978, October 21st, 1995. I, William J. Clinton, President of the United States of America, find that the actions of significant foreign narcotics traffickers centered in Colombia and the unparalleled violence, corruption, and harm that they cause in the United States and abroad constitute an unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security, foreign policy, and economy of the United States, and I hereby declare a national emergency to deal with that threat. That was President Clinton. This is precisely the same thing. That there's no difference. These are, look, the Democrats in the Senate voted for this previously. Let's not kid ourselves. And we're now showing what the politics are. But there is the statutory. We've gone through the statutory and legal authority, and it's much more extensive than we've even outlined today.
Right. I mean, you know, when you think about it, Jay, this declaration or executive order that President Clinton entered was entered 24 years ago.
Right.
What has changed in 24 Nothing, years except the situation has gotten
made worse?
Worse.
Yep.
In the 24 years since the president entered, since Clinton entered this order. And these drug traffickers are coming from the same areas, from the South. That's where the crisis, I believe personally that it is a crisis and an emergency, but that's where it's centered at and that's where it's coming from. But we are denying reality. We look at our nation geographically. This is coming from the South. It's coming from South and Central America, funneling through Central American countries and over the Mexican border. It's not coming from Vancouver. It's not coming from Quebec. It's coming from the South border. Why aren't we recognizing this?
No, right. I think let's go right to the phones. I think the American people are recognizing this. Mary Ellen calling from Illinois on line 3. Mary Ellen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Mary Ellen. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I'm calling from Chicago, okay?
Yep.
The murder capital of the country.
Yep.
However, these Democrat politicians who control the state and the city have done nothing over the past, I don't know how many years, because I had seen a study where they are reporting. A journalist did reporting on all the different cartels coming through the southern border, and where are they aiming their contraband? Chicago, okay? And then the gangs and the drugs, the gangs use the, you know, that's their business. They protect it with their illegal guns, and they kill for this.
So let me ask you this, Andy. When we talk about a drug cartel, so people understand the term, this is an enterprise.
It isn't. It's a criminal enterprise. It is an organization. It's organized crime. It's a cartel, which means it is a monopoly that controls the drug trade, and all the participants are part of the cartel, which simply means a monopoly in the trade of drugs and the trafficking of drugs and getting it into a certain place for a certain amount of money. The U.S. for dollars. That's what it's all about.
All right, so I'm going back to, I want to go to Thaner office in Washington on this, because I look at the drug cartels, I look at the sex trafficking issues alone. There, to me, is enough of a national emergency that the president could declare. And then we look at the statutory authority. Here's my question. Right now, it looks like the Democrats are dug in on this. What is the moving point? Do you have a situation where if the president were to offer, and we don't know if he'll do this, but if he were to offer DACA or pathway to citizenship with certain criteria met, what gets them off the edge here? Because at some point, it's looking ridiculous on their end.
Well, it depends if they change their posture, because, Jay, those things have been offered in the past. I mean, DACA was on the table specifically from the White House last week, and Democrats did not move, even though that just a matter of a year ago was what they were asking in exchange for border security funding. The question is, will they change when confronted with these facts? And, Jay, Mary Ellen called from Illinois. I'm from downstate Illinois. Every major city in America is dealing with this. Drugs are killing Americans by the thousands. It's not just a border crisis. It's a crisis across America. So you ask, what will it take to get Democrats off? If they look at these facts, Jay, if they make a decision based on facts, then they will change their posture. But to this point, this is all about wanting to disagree with President Trump. We'll see if that changes today.
Yeah, I would like to ask my friends on the left this. If a enhanced security on our border, which no one doubts is necessary, the Democrats say it's necessary, and that would include in sections a security fence or a wall, whatever you want to call it, and then in other kind of technologies being utilized. If that were to reduce or eliminate or significantly reduce sex trafficking and drug flow into the United States of America, would you spend $25 billion? And the answer is yes. So what is this?
This is politics. That's what this is.
Politics at its worst, yes. I believe, because as the president said as we played, how much more American blood has to be shed, not just of people being killed by illegal immigrants, you know, in violent attacks, but by the drugs that are brought across the border. If that many people, as many people died in Vietnam, will die this year, Americans, just from the heroin that is brought across, 300 a week. I mean, drive around your communities. Go between major cities. I encourage people, get off on an exit ramp and look at what's happening in these kind of forgotten areas of the country, even while the economy is doing pretty well. And you will see the drugs. You will see the people impacted. You can tell it in their eyes, in their skin, in the way that they look almost like zombies. I mean, it's almost like that. I mean, and that's in between all of our major cities, all across America. It doesn't matter if you're in the suburbs.
No,
in fact, the high-end suburbs or in the poorest areas of our country in the Appalachia.
During the holidays, I was doing Pam and I were doing some driving back and forth to various sea people, and you had to watch exit ramps you would get off in rural areas that when you would normally think would be safe because of the epidemic of opioid abuse and heroin and all of these drugs coming in. And if we, you know, I think the president's doing a very effective job of laying this out. Let's go ahead and grab a call.
It's happened at the truck stops, too. Yes, the big. It's not just in those, like, little gas stations, but the truck stops are full of it, too. And, again, this is all going to – these are the trucks that are going across the border.
Yep.
Making their ways all across to our country. Yep. Frank in Florida on line 4. Frank, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Frank.
Hey, yes. Yes. Yep. I got a question. If it is declared a national emergency, how – many lawsuits would be filed, and what kind of cost would that be for the taxpayer?
Well, the Department of Justice would defend the lawsuits. There'll be several filed. I mean, there's no question that there'll be lawsuits filed, Harry. I will tell you this. There'll be a lot of groups weighing in on it because you would just call friend of the court. I'm preparing as if there is going to be litigation. I'm preparing as if there's going to be a national emergency declared. I don't know that there will be, and I'm preparing that it will be litigated. And that's why I'm holding in my hand the initial drafts of what our lawyers are working on. But we're anticipating litigation. I think the president wins, clearly, because I don't think a judge can substitute his or her opinion as to what constitutes a national emergency for the president. I think that comes as a separation of powers issue. It's a constitutional issue, and I don't think a judge can do that.
Absolutely. So I think it's important to keep in mind, in light of the caller's call, that some constitutional scholars have come down on different sides of this precise issue. But I think most scholars who argue against the president's position are indeed mistaken, because the president, A, has inherent constitutional authority, and second, there are a number of statutory provisions, some of which we've already discussed, which provide him with authority to either ask the Secretary of Defense or the U.S. military to engage in projects to limit the flow of drugs and to use funds that have already been appropriated for the military that have not yet been allocated for purposes of dealing with a national emergency.
What I would do is, and I'm not the president, but if I was the president, I would declare it. If he decided to declare a national emergency, I would get the whole wall built. The whole security apparatus, not just the wall. If it's $25 billion, if you're going to do this, Andy, you do it. Right. But a judge is not going to substitute their position for the president.
No, an Article III judge has no business substituting his or her judgment for that of the president of the United States in making determinations of matters that pertain to the general welfare and the common defense. That's an Article I constitutional, two constitutional power given to the president and the president alone.
All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we're taking your calls. Remember, we're here for a full another 30 minutes. Go over to ACLJ.org or Facebook or Periscope if you don't get the full broadcast. Back with more in just a moment.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, ACLJ.org.
live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Over the last several years, I've met with dozens of families whose loved ones were stolen by illegal immigration. I've held the hands of the weeping mothers and embraced the grief-stricken fathers. So sad. How much more American blood must we shed before Congress does its job?
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
I, William Jefferson Clinton, President of the United States of America, find that the actions of significant foreign narcotics traffickers centered in Colombia and the unparalleled violence, corruption, and harm that they cause in the United States and abroad constitute an unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security, foreign policy, and economy of the United States, and hereby declare a national emergency to deal with that threat. So this idea that the president's declaring a national emergency, but despite what you're hearing in some of the media, as if this has never happened before, this is just one, by the way, this is one declaration from President Clinton. I could give you, there's probably a dozen in the last 20 years or 30 years. I mean, this happened, it does happen. So there's constitutional and statutory authority for this. The question is the logjam. What is it that the Democrats responded to a speech that wasn't given yesterday? That's what really happened. They responded to a speech that did not actually take place. The speech that they actually took place, they didn't respond to. So, Than, how does that play the next day?
Well, they didn't respond to it because they can't respond on facts. And quite frankly, they knew they would lose that debate because they've been on the wrong side of it in the past. But, Jay, how it plays the next day is they're going to have to go down to the White House at 3 o'clock and try to chart a path forward. And Jordan talked about in the break about a couple of the offers that he thinks the president might make, might include, you know, a resolution to the DACA issue or might have a middle ground on the amount of dollars allocated in the first fiscal year. Jay, I think the president will put both of those on the table. But I think in this meeting, he's going to say specifically to them, you've got a choice here. You can either work with me or I'm going to declare this national emergency. You have a choice. You want to be a part of the solution or do you want to actually be the ones that are challenging my solution that I put forward? Jay, I do think House Democrats, if the president declares, I think they will be one of the ones that will challenge this in court.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want to go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. We take opposing views as well. Michael calling from Buffalo, New York on line one. Michael, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Michael.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good. You're on the air.
I feel that if we buy the border wall, crime isn't going to stop. It's always going to be in our country. And if we bolster local law enforcement and drug rehabs, that would be more beneficial than shutting down the government.
Well, I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I think that, look, I think you do need help for local law enforcement. Andy, you work with local law enforcement. Yes. They need help. They need resources because of the drug flow, because of the sex trafficking. But they're not mutually, these are not mutually exclusive, not one or the other.
Well, Jay, what I think the caller misunderstands is the fact that, yes, we need local law enforcement to be bolstered and helped with respect to this, but that's not the cause. That's just taking care of the symptom. You've got to go to the cause, and the cause is the ingress into this country of illegal drugs and narcotics coming from the southern border. Okay? The law enforcement locally would not need as much help if you stopped it at the source, and the source of this is, as we've said, Central and South America and the Mexican border.
The president's talking about right now human trafficking. Let's go right to it.
With no windows, with no any form of air, tape put across their mouths, and they're brought across the border. And they don't go through checkpoints. They go through the emptiest spot they can find, with no walls, with no fences. I want to thank Vice President Pence, who's here, Secretary Nielsen, Acting Attorney General Whitaker, Secretary Azar, a woman known as Ivanka Trump. She's a great one.
Where is Ivanka?
Good. Hi, Ivanka. She's worked very hard on this. This is very close to her heart. Deputy Secretary Sullivan, Administrator Green,
acting right now, signing legislation dealing with sex trafficking. This is all, Than, part and parcel of the same problem.
Yeah, it authorizes $430 million to combat trafficking. And, Jay, there are Democrats behind the president supporting this. Where are they in the rest of the solution? These issues tie together. They need to work with him on the border issue as well.
Yeah, I mean, there were a whole group of moderate Democrats elected, too, in this last election cycle, especially to the House of Representatives. So, again, it's time for them to speak up. They didn't vote for Nancy Pelosi as speaker. We need to hear from them. We need to get – I think that this – we need to – I think what the president is doing right now, he is driving the wedge of the Democrats, and it's happening. Driving a wedge between these Democrats, the left and the middle.
All right, back with more, including your calls in a moment.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. Taking your calls, 800-684-3110. The president just signed legislation dealing with authorizing $430 million over 4 years to combat sex trafficking. This bill was sponsored by our friend Chris Smith, and I have said from the beginning that border security should be targeted at eliminating sex trafficking, which is a huge epidemic in the United States of America, as it is elsewhere in the world. These, again, are reasons why the declaration of a national emergency would meet, Harry, constitutional and statutory authority of the president.
Absolutely. So if you look at the facts on the ground, as opposed to what Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer did, you will find that we have issues involving special interest aliens. We have drug trafficking. We have human smuggling. We have all sorts of activities which apparently the Democrats are prepared to look a blind eye at. They refuse to look at the evidence, and the president has statutory and constitutional authority. He can follow the example set by Bill Clinton in the 90s, and it's also important to note that George W. Bush extended that executive order declaring an emergency with respect to drug trafficking in 2004. So, again, the facts support the president's authority, the president's discretion to, A, declare an emergency, and to then use that emergency authority as a basis for constructing a barrier of some sort on the southern border.
Andy, your experience as a district attorney, as a state prosecutor, the sex trafficking issue, which the president addressed today, and we're going to get to your calls in a moment here, folks. This is it's an epidemic.
If only people realized what an epidemic it is. The trafficking in sex on the part of these persons who exploit women and children is unbelievable. And it goes into the most remote rural areas of our states. Because I prosecuted cases in South Georgia, and you would think that doesn't happen in Camden County, Georgia, in the middle of the Okefenokee Swamp. But let me tell you, it does. And it's down there. And people are held hostage in little rooms, and they're basically the prisoners of these sex traffickers. And the president is trying his best to focus upon that. 60,000 1,000 unaccompanied minors arriving in the United States last year in 2018. Don't think that a lot of those children haven't been used in sex trafficking, because they have.
All right, let's go ahead and take some phone calls, Jordan.
Yeah, Vicky's been holding on from Illinois. Let's give Vicky a book. So, Vicky, after your comment, make sure stay on the line. We'll get your address, get your signed copy.
Hey, Vicky,
book.
Go ahead.
Hi, Jay. My question is just, if Donald Trump is our commander-in-chief, why can't he utilize the Army Corps of Engineers to build the wall? They have manpower, they have equipment, they have a budget.
Well, he may be able to. I mean, there's we're looking at all those. It's a great question, Vicky. There's legal issues with these, and that we're evaluating those. But what we're finding is the president has wide statutory authority. Maybe it's worth Harry mentioning this again, because Professor Hutchinson brought up at the beginning of the broadcast a section of the United States Code that actually talks about this exact issue.
Absolutely. So U.S. Code, Title 10 of the U.S. Code, Section 284, support for counter-drug activities and activities to counter transnational organized crime, allows the Secretary of Defense to provide support for the counter-drug activities or activities to counter transnational organized crime, and basically work with other departments. That's number one. In addition to that statutory provision, we have Title 10 of the U.S. Code, Section 208, the construction authority in the event of a declaration of war or a national emergency, which would enable the president to use the military for construction purposes if the military has appropriated funds, which have indeed been unallocated.
But
so if you use both of those statutory provisions together, I think you can construct a logical basis for the president to act to construct a border fence on our southern border.
So here's the issue, the political issue on this. Can the president do this? The answer is yes. So does he have the statutory authority to do this? Yes. Does he have the constitutional authority to do this? Yes. The issue is that the way you'd rather have it go? And I think that brings up another question.
Yeah, I think that the
president would rather have it done through Congress.
Absolutely. No legal issues to battle out. Certainly Congress can appropriate these funds. The president could then build the wall. You would not have to have the legal challenges of, is this a national emergency, and more divisive issues. If America could come together through Congress on this, I think it would be better for everyone. That being said, long term, it's better to protect all Americans. And if they're not getting the message, or if we're just too partisan right now, and there are other means available to the president to get this border security done, which is so central of his campaign promise, and now that we're getting closer to the 2020, I think he's going to look at every option available, and that includes that national emergency. So, the Democrats know it. They know it. They're already commenting on it. We already heard from the new chair of the House Armed Services Committee saying, president has the power, we'll challenge it in court.
Yeah, so then, do you see any pathway resolution legislatively right now? You are a director of our government affairs office in Washington. You're there right now. Do you see a pathway to get this resolved legislatively?
It comes down to a political decision by the Democrats. I think when the president tells them he's going to move forward with a national emergency declaration, if they don't work with him, they are going to have to make a political choice of whether or not it's worth it to them to continue opposing the president if he's going to get it done anyway. Jay, there is a path to get a compromise, something like, you know, maybe a sort of increase gradually up to the amount that's allocated. I think that is something that both the White House and Democrats would go for. But Jay, just very quickly, I love our callers. Vicky, she mentioned the Army Corps of Engineers. If he goes this national emergency route, it is unobligated dollars with the Army Corps of Engineers that would probably be used to construct the wall. She's spot on.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens, but obviously the authority's there to do it. All right, let's go ahead and take another call.
Yep, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Terry in Maryland, online too. Terry, welcome to JSEC Live.
Hi, Terry.
Thanks. Hi, how are you guys doing? Okay, I have two short questions.
All right.
Just realistically, how long can that government, can the government be shut down? And two, will this shutdown eventually affect Congress's paychecks?
So, Thane, on the congressman's paycheck, it does not.
Ledge Branch, ironically, Jay, Ledge Branch is fully funded for the next year. So unless a congressman voluntarily gives up their salary,
some have.
They're fully paid. It's so, very convenient for them.
Yeah. How long can this go on? Let me go around the horn on this. Go start with Jordan.
I mean, it can go on indefinitely because it is partial. And if if the financial institutions do step up, if the tax refunds go out, if people are getting their paychecks, I mean, it can go on indefinitely, but I really do think within the next 10 days or less, it's got to be solved.
Yeah, what do you think?
I think it will be solved in 10 days or less, because I think the president is going to throw the gauntlet down, and he already has, but he's going to say, unless you Congress people, unless you Democrats come to the table and work something out, I'm going to declare a national emergency, yeah, and I'm going to use my constitutional and statutory powers, and I think that'll happen in less than 10 days.
I mean, the answer is, could it go on for a long, long time? Yes. Will it go on for a long, long time? I think at some point the president exercises, and he said, his statutory and constitutional authority. Harry?
I think this shutdown or partial shutdown could go on for at least 2 more weeks, but I think the collateral consequences would then kick in, and the American people would demand that the government be fully funded at some point.
So the president just moments ago signing the anti-human trafficking bill. This is a big deal, folks, and very, very good. The American Center for Law and Justice, we worked on some of the initial legislation that the states have adopted to protect the victims of sex trafficking, which are the women. The way the law was set up before it was they were almost viewed as the perpetrator. And so that's some very good news on that. And again, I think it points to exactly the issues that we're now dealing with. Back to the phone. We got a lot of phone lines. I'm trying to grab another one here before the break.
Yeah, back to the phones. We go Amber in Washington State, line 5. Amber, welcome to JSEC.
Hey, Amber, you're on.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for taking my call. So I watched the president's speech last night, and, you know, for the last 2 years, we know exactly what the president has been running on, what he's been campaigning for. And when in the history of forever have we ever seen Democrats come and do a rebuttal, or anybody come and do a rebuttal to a president when they're making a speech to live national television across the world?
State of the Union, it often happens, always happens. They give a counter speech, so to speak. But this is pretty unprecedented.
Oh, yeah. A very unprecedented to one, see the speech like this.
And a huge mistake for the Democrats, I think.
Yes. I think that it should have been one of them. It should have been the highest ranking Democrat, Nancy Pelosi, or maybe a Hispanic Democrat. Honestly, I mean, somebody who could counter the narrative a little better. Instead, it was the same old tired Democrat politicians who right now, I'm not sure, have figured out, especially Nancy Pelosi, how to deal with the new House of Representatives and the members there, because you've got them from the very far left who don't agree with her, and in the middle who don't agree with her, and then she's got kind of like the mainstream Pelosi-style Democrat, the only thing she could seem to unite them around is resist the president, which means no new policies, even if it's policies they would usually be embracing, like DACA and a pathway to citizenship, and instead, they're not even trying to put that on the table. It would be the president that would have to put that on the table. Go to ACLJ.org. Give us a call now. We want to take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. Final segment, that's what we do. We take calls and answer your questions at 1-800-684-3110. And remember, go to ACLJ.org. A lot of work going on that we can't get to on the show. Check out ACLJ.org.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kolob is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio. Kolob and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org.
One of the things that I've been advocating for a number of years has been the need for comprehensive immigration reform. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I believe that we need border security, enhanced border security, which includes the sections of the country, needs a wall, needs to be enhanced, technology utilized on border security. There's a whole host of things you can do. But I also think we need comprehensive immigration reform that would include, you're not deporting 12 or 18 million people that are here, and it may be more than that now. And if they're law-abiding at this point, they haven't, and they want to become out of the shadows, and I think we should find a way to do that, whether it's a permanent work visa or pathway to citizenship, whatever it might be, and then handle the DACA thing. I think if you put that all on the table, let me tell you something. Democrats still may say no, but, I mean, how can you say no to that? Now, the president just alluded to some of that. We're going to get that bite in a moment. But for our Facebook and Periscope audience, you heard that. The president talked about the need. This may be the time for comprehensive immigration reform. This is the time, and he's absolutely 100% correct. Let's go ahead and take a call.
Yeah, so many calls coming in. People have been holding on. Gary in Colorado, online 3. Gary, welcome to JSEC Live.
Hi, Gary.
How are you doing? I'm just good. Glad you guys took my call.
Thanks.
And I just got to say real quick that I don't think it has anything at all to do about money. It's strictly political. It's the fact that Democrats hate Trump in every way because he's doing things that he said he was going to do, and all they did was talk.
Well, the last thing they want, could you imagine if this is the president that authorizes, I was talking to a friend of mine this morning, could you imagine if this is the president that ends up getting through comprehensive immigration reform, that heads will explode on the other side?
Oh, we've talked about it before. Even if it was DACA that was done by this president, so they made sure that couldn't happen. They do not want this president to be able to get things done that would benefit him and go against the grain that he's somehow anti-Hispanic. I mean, he's right. Still being called a racist by elected members of Congress right now.
Right.
That would go against all of that, and they would have a very tough time winning election against him.
Let me play for you what the president just said moments ago.
I would like, and I'll say it in front of some of our Democrat friends here, I would love to see a big immigration bill where we really take care of the situation. I know you want to. Everybody wants to. Who wouldn't want to? Right now we have a problem. We have to take care of this, and it's quicker and easier to do this individually. But we would like to see real immigration reform in this country because we need it, and it can be a beautiful thing.
There you have it. And Harry, this has been a position we've advocated at the ACLJ for a long time.
Absolutely. So it's no mystery, I think, to the American people,
yep.
And it certainly shouldn't be a mystery to politicians who've actually followed this debate, that there are a raft of issues surrounding immigration. Do we need, for instance, to reconfigure immigration so that it's grounded in a merit-based system? Do we need border security? Absolutely. Do we need to move away from so-called chain migration? All of those things ultimately should be on the table. But I think in the short run, if the president can, for instance, achieve a resolution with respect to DACA and border security, for instance, a permanent system of border security across the wall, call it a border fence, a border wall, whatever you call it, that would be very, very helpful. But at the end of the day, what we need, and I think no rational person can deny it, is some type of comprehensive immigration reform.
So, Than, how does that play with all of this going on? The president just said it's something we've been advocating for a while. How does that all play with this?
Well, they're going to have to decide that they don't mind sharing cooperation and credit with the president of the United States, because, Jay, I've said this so many times, but the president offered them three times what they asked for on this. I mean, the DACA issue alone, they wanted a pathway for the people who had participated in DACA. The president said, sure, in fact, I'll give a pathway for all those who were eligible for DACA, and I will work with a comprehensive solution for those who are legally present if the border is secure, and they said no. Jay, that debate over a comprehensive pathway for not only the DACA participants, but also those here in illegally, I think that would take about 5 minutes if the border were secured. I think people on both sides of the aisle would participate in that process with him. But to this point, the president offered them three times what they asked for, and then they said no.
Yeah, I think this is a very bold, and this is a good strategy the president's laying out. Let's take another call, George.
Angelina, Nevada, online for Angelina. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Angelina, go ahead.
Well, I want to thank you guys for what you do.
Sure.
It's more than anybody else does right now. The question was answered on one of the things that I was wondering about. You know, why is Congress getting paid, and these people that are securing our borders and the air are not getting paid?
Right.
What's going to happen when everybody with TSA, Department of Homeland Security, walk off?
Well, that happened once before. Go ahead, Andy.
Yeah, it happened to me yesterday at the Atlanta airport coming back to our media center. One of the TSA persons says, I'm leaving at 4 o'clock. And they said, well, your shift doesn't end till 6. He says, well, I'm not getting paid. I'm leaving at 4 o'clock. What would happen if, in fact, that man's threat were to hold true and he were to leave the border, in a sense, unsecured, the border at the airport?
That's why, Jordan, this doesn't go on forever.
That's right. I mean, now, As it was explained by Vice President Pence on the call Than was on, most financial institutions are standing in the gap. They know the government is good for the money, and so they will issue basically people's paychecks to them at zero interest. So some of this is uninformed federal workers.
Right.
They need to actually be, if you're a federal worker right now who has been furloughed, contact your bank. If you need your paycheck, most of your banks will provide you a zero interest loan. So they're giving you the money, and then the government will come back and reimburse it.
Yep. All right, let's go ahead and take another call.
Yep, back to the phones. Ryan in Arizona, online one.
Hey, Ryan, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Hey. Two quick questions. Yep. Number one, we know the cost of the wall is $5 billion. I guess the next question
cost is... Cost of the wall is $25 billion. $5 billion this year. But go ahead.
Yeah, but what's the cost not to build the wall?
Oh.
And point number two is the Democrats' key word last night was manufactured crisis.
Yeah.
I'll concede that point, but who's the manufacturer / beneficiary?
I think you bring up two points, but let me tell you, it's not a it's a crisis that, because of our border policy, is allowed to fester. There's no question about that. But the cost of the wall is insignificant to our national budget. We've said that 100 times. But I will take it a step further here. This is a national crisis. The president today was focusing on the sex trafficking issue with that new legislation that was passed. This is a national crisis. The drug trafficking, national crisis. Illegal flow of migration, national crisis. Does the president have the constitutional and statutory authority to execute a national emergency order? The answer to that is yes. Will a court in California strike it down as unconstitutional? Probably. Will the Supreme Court overturn that? Yes. Why? Because they're going to say a judge doesn't get to substitute his view for that view of the president of the United States. Let's try to grab this last call.
Yep. Paige in South Carolina, online five. Paige, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Paige.
Hey. I just wanted to point out that children are also victims of sex trafficking, not only women.
Yep. No, on both, and not just girls, or so, but boys as well. So, I mean, in fact, I'd say the majority of the sex trafficking it starts with minors.
Yes.
Or very young women.
And
it's to say
your least,
and,
yeah,
that's true. And it's both sexes.
Yeah. It is minors, and it is of both sexes. It's not just young girls.
Yeah. So these are the real issues. Now, the president is scheduled to go to Texas tomorrow. Than, in 20 seconds, anything happen between today and tomorrow legislatively other than the meetings?
Well, he's meeting right now with the Senate policy lunch. They're still considering that pro-Israel bill on the floor, which the Democrats opposed last night, Jay, over this shutdown.
Yep. Harry, what do you think happens here in 10 seconds?
I'm not sure anything happens in the next 24 to 48 hours.
Jordan?
I think probably if the president wants the wall, the emergency will have to be declared.
Yeah, there we go. That's kind of the way I view it, too. All right, well, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Let me tell you why we want you to support the work of the ACLJ. We're not just talking about the issues and keeping you informed. Our legal teams right now, I got five lawyers working on the legal justification for a national emergency if the fact the president declares it. How do we defend it in court, laying it out in memos right now? Talk to you tomorrow.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org.